Renowned novelist David Mitchell is best known for Cloud Atlas, but David Mitchell says his most important work is not fiction. It's not even a book that he wrote. It's a book he translated from Japanese called The Reason I Jump by a Teenage Boy. It has a special resonance for Mitchell because his son has autism, like the author.
He's pretty much nonverbal. Couldn't begin to do this conversation verbally, even if he were an English speaker and not Japanese. But he can write. He can write really well. He's very, very eloquent. It's not easy for him. Our son has autism, and when he was sort of 2, 3, 4, that sort of peak mayhem time, it's really, really, really tough. You've got this thing you just can't handle exploding in your kitchen all the time. It's really bad. That book was really the light at the end of the tunnel and a kind of Rosetta Stone about autism. Naoki takes about 60 questions that he'd been asked or that he thinks people, or sort of us neurotypical bunch, would be curious about, like, why do you like jumping? Why do you burst into tears at inappropriate moments? Why do you burst into laughter at inappropriate moments? How do you remember? What's your imagination like? Why do you not want to be touched? Why do you wave the wrong way with your palm facing yourself rather than your palm facing outwards? Kind of lots of things, conceptual questions, quite small, detailed questions. And he gives answers. They're generally pretty short. At the end of the book is a piece of fiction, a really good piece of fiction. Amazing, he wrote it as a 13-year-old. It makes me well up every time I read it. Thereby, in a sense, it proves everything that the non-fictional part of the book says, that that people with autism have much, much more imagination and intellect than they can prove to us they have, therefore that we give them credit for. So it was a very practically helpful book for us, as well as a hopeful book for us. Autism isn't a disease, therefore it's got no cure, and we're a couple of neuro-Einsteins away from understanding the brain sufficiently enough to really understand autism. But we sure as hell can change the attitudes about autism, and we can change the misconceptions. That will make the world a much easier place, well, much easier, I don't know, but an easier place to live in if you have autism, and hopefully just sort of make the point that people with autism aren't profoundly unlucky losers of some kind of genetic lottery, nor are they victims. Pity is better than contempt, but pity is still a form of abuse. People with autism, this is the bottom line, are heroes. If you or I were transported into an autistically wired head, we'd be in a psychiatric ward by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. We really would. These guys, or girls or women, live in those heads, and they make a damned good job of it.
I wouldn't assume that all people with autism are the same in any way, but did what you learned from translating this book from this young Japanese boy, beyond kind of opening up an inner life that you might not have been quite clear on, was there anything specific about reading how he talked about what was going on in his head that informed what was going on in your son's head?
Many things. I mean, I could give you 20 specific examples, but more, which you don't have time for. But
one would suffice.
You have a non-vocal son, a non-verbal son. They basically don't speak. It's very easy to get into the habit of not speaking back because you think, the little guy has autism, he's not going to understand. Kind of wrong. This book points out that people with autism, they want that understanding. They want that verbal contact. They want that communication. Now, they can't answer back. But that doesn't mean that that exposure to language isn't really, really helpful and will actually hasten the day when they can start manually building sentences.
That's so interesting that they wouldn't outwardly give any sign that they were listening or paying attention or even ready to respond. And yet, from what this young Japanese boy wrote, he appreciated the effort that was being made.
Do it anyway.
Yeah.
They're people. They have the same intellect and imaginative powers as you do. It's just they're not given credit for that. No one believes they have it. So let's treat them as if they are essentially us. And gosh, that makes all the difference in the world. And the moment I started doing that, really the day I started doing that, my relationship with my son just took a quantum leap.
How's he doing today?
He's a much happier little guy. I mean, this happens as they age anyway. When you're in the maelstrom, when you're in the thick of it and your life is some kind of metaphorical Gaza, it's really hard to be optimistic and hard to sort of see any hope, but it's easy to forget they're working on it. They're inside there trying to piece things together, trying to make sense of the world and trying to do manually what you and I do automatically. You know, we have an onboard editor that we're ignorant of most of the time, constantly filtering the suggestions and the ideas and sensory input. And we don't even know this editor's there. If you have autism, you have to do that yourself. You have to kind of construct those filters and make and kind of bring that editor into being yourself. They're working on it, and we can help them.
Well, you mentioned talking to them. On this book tour, are you able to call your son and speak to him and have him speak to you?
We spoke this morning. I mean, he's still kind of, I mean, he's not that verbal. Yeah. But he understands much more than he can say. His comprehensive powers are really high. And that's kind of thanks in part to the increased exposure he's got to language within our domestic sphere from the book. So that's a very big answer to a short question, but I'm glad you asked it. That book's more important than my fiction. I mean, I like my fiction and I love doing it, but this is sort of something that can change the narrative in the real world about off-script lives. Alzheimer's, cerebral palsy, cancer survivors, people with terminal illnesses. Things go off script all the time for lots and lots of people. And to have experience in one of those off-script lives gives you more compassion and patience and stamina and aptitude at helping people and understanding people whose lives have gone off script for other reasons as well.
Novelist David Mitchell talking about a book by a young Japanese boy with autism called The Reason I Jump.